I need you more. Hallelujah. I need you more. Amen. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we have a guest speaker, Brother Dale Smith. So it's not a strange among ourselves, and we'd like to welcome him. Now, I'm dry. You know, people get dry and they go to the bar and to the cantinas. I'm dry, but I want to get my car full tonight. Amen? Because I don't want to live here the way I came in. So, we love the word and we want to, Brother Dale, to take his time and his liberty to preach because we love the word of God. We want that word to bring us closer to him tonight and to meet every need that we have. So, you go ahead and pull and you get your portion tonight. Don't wait on me. Just as soon as I start, you take off. Amen. So we want to welcome him by singing that song, Only Belief is Good Enough for Me. Can we stand? Believe, will you believe tonight? Only believe all things. All things are possible, just only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. And Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Oh Lord, I receive. Oh Lord, I receive. Possible, Lord, I receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you've got a need that you need to receive tonight, amen, you can make it known to the Lord with an uplifted hand. And amen. We'll go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're just coming tonight because, Lord, we're a needy people. And Lord, we're here this evening, and Lord, it wasn't by accident, Lord, but Lord, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And so, Lord, we come by this way, Lord, and your saints are gathered, and Lord, we're here to hear from you, Lord. And Father, nothing else really matters, oh God, but that we can hear from the Master tonight, Lord. And Father, we just ask you now to meet every need, heal the sick and the afflicted. Lord, send a special Lord touch to our dear pastor tonight, Lord. Lord, no doubt he's uncomfortable, miserable, Lord. But we're praying, Lord Jesus, that Lord, that there'll come such a comfort, Lord, such a healing virtue, oh God, and he'll rise up and say, the Lord has been good to me. Lord, we love you tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name we ask. And the church said, amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Thank you, musicians, for your gifts. And amen. Your presence, amen. It's good to be, amen, where people want to come to church. Praise the Lord. It's a serious time that we live in, and so I think we ought to make every opportunity to be in the house of God. And, amen. We had a prophet tell us that if the Holy Ghost was in your life, amen, that you couldn't wait for the doors to open. Praise the Lord. So, amen, I'm glad that we're here this evening. I couldn't wait for the doors to open. Praise the Lord. And if I run you off the road on the way to church and you blew your horn at me, I'm sorry. I really did. Somebody blowed their horn at me. I was merging at the same time. I said, well, I didn't want to get upset or anything. It could be church people. You never know. Amen. So I'm real sorry but I was kind of I hate to be late to anything and I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. And so I was running a little bit behind. And so, I was trying to, you know, keep it between the ditches, we always say, you know. Anyway, somebody blowed their horn at me, so I thought, if it's one of y'all, I'm real sorry. And if you lost the victory, shame on you. You know, you should have. And we'll pray for you after the service. Amen. So, but God bless you all. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm sure going to miss Brother Doug tonight, but you know, sometimes the shepherd just needs a little rest and rehabilitation. So, amen. Pray the Lord to strengthen him, raise him up. And, you know, we just was coming through. Brother Aaron had a brother cancel on him over at the tabernacle. And they called me and said, hey, can you come? Well, I was in Scotland when he called me. So I was on Tuesday and I got here by Sunday. So I had to preach on the way. So I'd preach in South Carolina on the way. And so I'm still running on a little bit of jet lag. So if I fall asleep, you know, y'all kick me and we'll start again. And so, but we love you all, appreciate you, so good to see you all this evening. Invite you to the scriptures this evening. We want to go into the 34th Psalm. I got to share this back home at the church there in Buford and just in a little capsule that I gave a little bit of a mission report there. And I won't take a lot of time, but I do want to testify of some things that God is doing in the foreign fields. And we want to just... You know, we don't come to say what good things that we done for God, but we want to tell all the good things that God did for us. Is that right? Amen. And so he's doing great things for his children. In Psalms 34, we want to begin reading at verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. And they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. May the Lord bless the reading of the word this evening as you make yourselves comfortable. We just took about a 3-week trip overseas. We left, I don't even remember what day it was, but we spent a week there in London, and we hit the different churches there, just kind of England, we realized that they received their message back in the times of John Wesley and Charles Spurgeon, different ones, and Knox and all the great reformers, Jouett, different ones. And, you know, when the message moved further to the West, we realized that England as a whole just backslid on, and Brother Brown begins to talk about that and how that Billy Graham and himself, they were there in London. He said the things that they did in the parks and what more. He said it was just, you couldn't even describe it. And so, you know, they had all their rock and roll movement and everything started coming from out of there and with the Beatles and what more. And so it was really it's a very religious country, but it's not a very spiritual country. And so, but in the midst of all that, God has raised up a few.
Right.
And there's a remnant there that is still giving witness. And I fell in love with those people. I met Brother Frank Hall a few years back, Brother Andy Strevens, little unknown people there. Just got little tiny little groups of, you know, 8 or 10 or 15 believers, you know, in each little group. And Brother Peter Chandler's an African brother. There's a lot of Africans that have immigrated into London. And so he's got, and he himself is from Zimbabwe, and his wife also. And so they have a pretty good size assembly, mostly all African folk. And then I went up to another African church, Brother Melico Crosby is up in another city there. And he also is just kind of just a brother that came from Africa and just started a group there. And so they've got a nice little assembly there as well. And so, but they don't get a lot of outsiders, you know, because they're English speaking. They don't get a lot of visitors. And a lot of times if you're going to go visit England, everybody thinks you're going there for vacation. And though it's a nice place to go to a vacation, but not this time of year. Just don't go this time of year. And so it was rainy, and we got a snowstorm just when I was leaving. Barely made my flight out. And so it was quite rough. But to say the least, the churches were encouraged, and we were able to help them there. And we were there for a week, and we preached four services in the London area. And so we took our flight to Egypt. I met Brother Jason DeMars. I don't know if you've met Brother Jason. Brother Jason, a missionary to Turkey, and he works with the Persian Farsi speaking people, and he's doing a great work there in Turkey. My wife and I have been there, and I've been there a couple of times, three times I think, and just to help out with the churches there and do some evangelism, help establish the people. And sometimes, you know, the teaching will get them established doctrinally, but sometimes they need evangelism to stir their to deliverance and to the Holy Spirit and what more. And so we just, Brother Jason and I, we just found ourselves working in that tag team type ministry. He's more of a theologian, more of a teacher, stays very on task doctrinally. And I just kind of preach by letter, you know, and just open my mouth and let her fly kind of a deal. And so we just kind of let her rip and just see what happens and let the chips fall, so to speak, you know. And so, you know, it sometimes people can take correction a little better when it's coming in that way than you try to teach them, you know. Well, they find out some reason why they shouldn't do it, you know. But you preach it to them, they'll repent. And so we got together in Egypt. We had six services or eight services with the local assembly there. Egypt has been a kind of a burden of my heart. I got to go there about 10 years ago with Brother Tony Abma. And then we had the Arab Spring. And when they had the Arab Spring, Arab Summer, and then the Egyptian Brotherhood, and they tried to overthrow the country, and there was riots in the street. And that happened right on the heels when we were leaving. It was that thing turned into just a mess over there, and there was no way we could get back into Egypt. Well, all the people that we had been associated with and got to, we had really good meetings there, baptized quite a few, actually. I think we baptized like 18 people. And but what was interesting, it was in the shadow of a mosque. And we were right in the Mediterranean, and we were out there. We weren't supposed to be out there, but, you know, the people wanted to be baptized. And so we baptized them. And but we've lost contact with the greater part of those people. We're trusting the Lord will help us reconnect. A whole new group, Pastor Magelli, an Egyptian brother there. He's a master of theology in the country, but he saw this message. And he's English, has some English, he's not fluent English, but he does real well. And his son is Brother George is quite adept to English. And so he was able to translate for us and had just wonderful services there. Brother Magelli invited two of his close friends, Brother Imad and Brother, well, I just call him Angel because I can't remember his name means angel, but I can't remember, I don't know how to say it in Egyptian. And these two pastors, they brought their people. And so we had a nice little group there. And we preached to them. Brother Jason took his first service, was on the serpent seat, took the original sin, right, and just began to break it down. There was one of the sisters there. It was it was his sister-in-law. I had to be clear on that. She came and was quite adamant. Why do you need such a doctrine as this? You know, why is this? Why does this even become important? And wanted to really have an argument about it. She was quite forceful in her ways, and I just told her, well, sis, what you're going to do is I'm not going to answer your question. I'm just going to tell you, come back tomorrow. You know, just come back tomorrow, because the brother didn't know what my first service was going to be. And I took my first service was, you must be born again. And I took it back to, Brother Bram said, Jesus' first doctrine was, you must be born again. He said, and he went back to the book of Genesis and preached on the hybrid seed. And so I did exactly that. And so I was able to just kind of come right off of Jason's teaching there on the serpent seed and the original sin, and just picked it right up there, brought it over into the New Testament, show why it had to be a virgin birth and why you must be born again, because your first birth was not sufficient. And so she was smiling after that, and we had a great service. She was first one in the prayer line. So just the Lord did something really wonderful there. But by the time the services were over, there was another group that was coming in right behind us to take our little place that we had rented there, and another Christian group, and they came in right behind us, and they heard that we were Americans and that we were evangelists and we were there teaching, and they said, we would like to have one of them to preach to us. And so we said, well, don't throw us in the briar patch, you know. And so we said, sure, we'll stick around another day. And so we stayed another day, and I preached a little message to them there on the way of a true prophet. And we got done to the service, and I introduced the messenger, William Marion Branham, at the end, and how that that the reason of a true prophet would come with signs and wonders would be to bring a message. And so just kind of left them with that. Well, they wouldn't let us leave with that. They said, no, you've got to tell us more about this William Branham. We want to know more. And so they said, just spend a little extra time and we'll bring coffee in and we want to hear more. And so I gave them the life story of Brother Branham. And they said, well, we want to be prayed for that we can have ministry like this and gifts like this. I said, well, these things come, there's a responsibility that goes with that. You know, God's not going to, you know, power without character is satanic. And so with this type of ministry comes a responsibility. If you want the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, then you have to preach the message that the Holy Spirit is speaking to the churches. And they saw it. They said, amen. Then we want to hear more. So they invited us to come back. So praise the Lord. Now that we had three groups, now we got four. So we're just praising the Lord and believing that the Lord will open the door further. They have a new president in Egypt. He's actually building a new Cairo, a new capital. And the infrastructure in the last 10 years has changed dramatically. When we were there before, you couldn't even move in the city or in the country hardly. There was so much traffic. The roads were horrific. There was no any kind of disciplines whatsoever. And so it was just gridlock completely the whole time. Man, I got there this time and had super highways and everybody was moving. And their economy is really bolstered by the oil. And they have the Saudis are putting a lot of money in there. And so the new president has put the squelch to any kind of terrorism, anything like that. He just drops the hammer on that immediately. He stopped all that kind of rioting, and that kind of stuff is dealt with very, very severely. And so the country is in peace. They're economically moving forward, and there's a great window of opportunity into the Arab-speaking nations, and Egypt being one of the few that we can even access. And so with that, we need translations, because when we were there, as far as we knew, available, there was none. While we were there, the hub uploaded the church age book, that they just finished the church age book of the exposition of seven church ages and 17 tracts in Arabic language. And that's all there was. But when we think about that, the nation of Egypt or the Arab speaking countries comprise about 540 some million people. It's the fourth, I believe. The fourth fifth most spoken language in the world. Wow. So, you know, behind you have the Mandarin from China. You have English speaking second. Thirdly is the it's the Indian language they speak in India, only by sheer numbers, because there's so many people that live in India. And then fourthly is Spanish, and then after that is Arabic. And so you can imagine, we have the full message in Spanish, but we have no translated sermons in Arabic. And so it's a great need, a great need. We found, since I've been home, we found another 14 messages that have been translated. They were on another website, on the Voice of God website. And so they're going to be brought through a second screening, make sure that the translations are on par, and then they'll be uploaded as well. So we just got a little shot in the arm since we've been back. So we're really excited about what the Lord is doing. And we want these, because you know, a lot of this, the only way that these messages can get into places like Saudi Arabia, you know, Afghanistan, these kind of places where they speak Arabic, is the only way it can get there is by the internet. Because, you know, and by people that are instructed that actually are nationals, because we can't go there. You know, well, we could, but we wouldn't come back. And my wife said, I can't go. So I'll let her be the boss on that one, I'll tell you right now. But no, we go where the Lord sends us. But, you know, we have to be sensible about those kind of things. And so we're just praying. And it's the same with the Korean works. You know, we've got to get the message out in South Korea so we can get it to North Korea. You know, and so if we don't get these things done, then those people are just there in darkness, and we can't live with that, friends. We got to do whatever we can do, because there's got to be the last one somewhere. Amen. And I'm looking for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's 8 bells right now, so we'll try to get you out of here by, you know, by midnight anyways. And so, no, we don't do that. We understand y'all got to work tomorrow, so we just want to go right in the message. I can tell about missions all day long. As it goes to preach, I get nervous, you know. And so I just take a minute to kind of change gears here, if it'd be all right. I hope this brother wasn't sick. I'm going to drink after him. It's anointed. Praise the Lord. David here is after his time with Abimelech, and he was running for his life. And it was a serious time in David's life. And the Bible says that when David got to this certain place, he just said, "This poor man cried." And I'd like to title the message tonight, "This poor man cried." Who was he? Just, you know, you're reading the Bible. When you read the Bible, you know, you say, well, it's that guy or that guy. It's that sister or that brother. But, you know, when I read the Bible, I want to be like Brother Bram said there about, you know, about, what was it, John Quartz, you know. He said, I'll read it here to you. Brother Bram talks about a message called Pardon. He said he was wounded for Willie Pruitt's transgressions. He was bruised for Willie Pruitt's iniquity. The chastisement of Willie Pruitt was upon him, and with his stripes Willie Pruitt was healed. Said the old captain, said, I like that. He said, oh, if my name could only be read there. Said, you think you could do that, son? He said, I'll try. He said he was wounded for John Court's transgressions. He was bruised for John Court's iniquities. And the chastisement of John Court's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, John Court's was healed. And with tears running down his beard, he said, fetch me my clothes. And Jesus Christ has healed me. I give my life to him. And so, I think that this evening we could put our name in that passage of scripture. Amen. We could put my name there. This man. This man. This here man, not a different man, but this man. I'm not, it's not a time to, to point fingers or to have some sort of a pitchfork religion. But friends, it's time that the bride of Christ gets serious with God and begins to say, I'm the one. It's not my brother. It's not my mother. Amen. It's but me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. This man. But what did he say? He said, this poor man. And, if we were to define it by our English translation, then why we would say that means he didn't have no money. And, I've seen poor people before, and I don't think any of us really qualify. But I looked in this in the Hebrew. Poor doesn't just mean poor as in a sense of a need for or a want for wealth. But it actually has a kind of a greater meaning. Means in its true sense, it means afflicted. I thought, my, that puts a whole new light on things, Right. This afflicted man. So now then it changes from just somebody that didn't have two nickels to rub together to now, then it turns into each and every one of us that have ever been afflicted in one form or another. Doesn't necessarily mean you was afflicted in sickness. Maybe you was afflicted in depression, or maybe you was afflicted in, in a different way. It had a broader meaning to be crushed. I know a lot of people that was crushed, that feelings are hurt, and sometimes you think of people and life crushes you. Things happen in life. You work your whole life for retirement, and right at the end, the company goes belly up. You have nothing. You lose your 401k. You're crushed. You're really crushed because of it. You walk with a mate for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, amen, she up and walks out the door on you, or he gets up and runs off with another woman, leaves you there, crushed. This poor man, this poor woman, crushed, forsaken, desolate, oh my, the word miserable would better express the idea than the word poor. It literally means, I save this for last, but a sufferer. My, we can think about that, and when life just deals you a bad hand, if we could say it that way, you suffer. Sometimes sickness comes. Sometimes sickness that you can't just shake it, and cancer comes, or some arthritis or some debilitating type of sickness comes, and you suffer. Sometimes people are suffering. Sometimes they suffer from depression or mental anguish or loneliness. How many have ever been lonely by yourself and wondered, oh God, if I just had a friend, if I just had a helpmate, oh my. And so you find yourself in this sense of suffering. I was reading from Charles Spurgeon today. He said, if we were taken to heaven and did the heavenly spirits, did the heavenly spirits wear any token of their rank on earth? I like this. If we were in heaven, there wouldn't be any, any of us wearing our turned around collars, and, we wouldn't have all of our stripes on our arm and our rank on our shoulders, No, he just says, he said, but if there was any rank on our that we should wear any token of rank. We should on returning say, here and there I saw a king. A few were marked as princes of noble blood, and a handful of peers of the realm. I observed a little company of prudent and a slender band of the rich and famous. So, you know, if he was looking around, this is what he would see. I saw a couple of kings. I saw a couple of princes over there. I saw some noble. Here, oh, there's some rich and famous going there. He said, but I saw a great company of the poor and the unknown, who were rich in faith and known unto the Lord. The Lord excludes no man from his election on account of his rank or condition. Amen. Oh my. When we get over there, friend, there's going to be a lot of poor people over there. They may be poor when they got there, but they, amen, they won't be poor after they got there. Hallelujah. Oh my. Any poor man. Nothing particular about this fellow in the Bible. Here we find that he actually acted like a madman. If you go and read the text, you find that when David left Abimelech, he had to act as though he was a slobbered on himself, let his spittle run down on his beard and acted in madness. But, you know, it wasn't anything particular what we were wanting to see here this evening. He was a poor man. He was a suffering man. But then what did he do? The Bible said that this poor man cried. He cried. I want to just labor around that concept that he cried. Brother Bram says, God recommends for his children, God recommends this for his children. God recommends this for his believing children. He did not recommend intellectual speeches, not some great theology to teach. He wants you to cry for your needs. And that's right. Cry out for it. You're too stiff and starchy. You'll never get it. But if you're ready to limber yourself up a little and cry, God will give it to you. He likes to hear his children cry. Cry your needs to God. God wants it. That's his provided way. Cry for it. That's the way the baby cries. That's the way he wants you to cry. Cry how long? How long does a baby cry? Until it gets satisfied. And that's the way the believing Christian should do. God's child, if you see God made a promise, don't give it up. Cry till it's answered. Cry till you see God vindicates his word. And when God vindicates his word and proves it here, then you don't have to cry no more. You got it. Walk away. Thank him for it. Until you do that, scream out till you get it. I like that persistent kind of holding on. Amen. Oh my. He cried for it. Oh my. What do babies do? They cry. Brother Bram said, you give him a bell. He's about 3 weeks old. And you give him a little bell. And you say, sonny boy, when you get hungry and you want your bottle, you just ring this bell. He'll never ring that bell. It'll lay right there. But that baby will cry. And he'll cry till he gets what he's asking for. Amen. We find out that baby, he's not going to be satisfied with daddy either. I raised 4 of them, and I know, and I got 8 grandbabies. And I know that when they want mama, I can promise them jelly beans and suckers, and you know, I can give them a sucky suck or a pacifier or whatever you want to call it. Amen. I can offer them all these kind of things, and they just look at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Amen. And just start bawling their eyes out, and they don't want nothing to do with me. But I'm Pawpaw. I'm the one they should be wanting. But they don't want me. They only want Mama. And Mama's the only thing. And they're going to cry until they get Mama. Oh my. Why? Brother Bam said it was God's provided way. Oh my. He cried. Oh, I like it this way. That was the style of prayer that he had adopted. You know, he could have took on some sort of theological approach to God, you know. But no, that was his natural expression. You didn't have to teach him how to do it. No, he just come natural. This poor man, he didn't know how to pray a fine prayer. You know, you get, sometimes, you know, you're feeling it down in your soul. You need something. I just had an experience here a while back, and, you know, I got a report that my son was on drugs, and I couldn't believe it. Thankfully, it wasn't the truth, actually. But they thought he was. But it's a mental condition that he has, and he would just get so, they call it an autistic overload. And it would just act like he would just kind of go like dumb, just like he didn't know, he just couldn't communicate well. And it was my brother was the one that was telling me. He said, well, he just acts this way, and he just goes like this, and he quits shaving, and he just doesn't take care of himself, and he just stays in his room all the time. He's over there doing drugs. I know he is. Well, my heart broke. My heart broke. I was like, oh, that's my boy. And I put him over there. I'm trying to help him, trying to get him, you know, some help and trying to encourage him, give him some kind of life. And now then, oh my, I'm a failure. And I was a dad, and that's my boy. And I'm the failure, and I didn't do right. And so I went in the church one day. I was going to preach one Sunday morning. I got there early. Oh my, it was before the sun come up or right at sun up. And I got in there and I just sat down, and I had my heart on a lot of different sermon titles, but I just sit down in the chair, and I just looked at my book, and there was a particular scripture over in Psalms 31, Jeremiah 31, and I was looking at it on my device, my iPad there, and I just bowed my head, and I just, in my mind, I premeditatedly thought, in my mind, I'm just gonna bawl my eyes out. I'm just gonna sit here and cry because I can't do anything else. And I didn't even know this scripture existed, honestly. I just felt I gotta break down. It's the only thing I can do. I can't fix it. But I know that, I just felt in my spirit I need to cry. And as I was just, you know, you could just feel the tears coming. You know, you just felt the whole emotional thing fixing to, just the fountain was fixing to bust, you know. And it was as plain as my voice right now. Said, read. I said, read. It just said, read. Just like that. And I looked down, and my pad had scrolled way off of the verse that I was reading. And it said, weep not and dry your tears. And it began to tell me this whole series of things that God was going to do for my son. The Lord Jesus couldn't walk through the door and gave me any more comfort than that. But it was that moment of emotional. I couldn't pray. I couldn't preach God a sermon. So many times we think that if I'm going to get my needs met, I've got to get this list of quotes here, and I've got to read these quotes, and I've got to put God under obligation, and I've got to make God move. Oh, friend, if you could just get to a place where you could just cry, amen. Oh, crying isn't pleasing to the ears. Crying isn't fun. It's not some sort of a euphoria that we really look forward to. But if we could ever get, amen, broken before God, my Bible says that a broken spirit before God, he will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. Couldn't have, this poor man, he couldn't have preached you a sermon if you paid him the Pope's salary. What, He wasn't going to do it. He wasn't a preacher. You know, he couldn't, maybe, you know, oh my, some of the great, you know, I actually collect from the message prayers that Brother Brown prayed. Some of them are like poetry. Some of them are so just profound to me. But you know, sometimes I think we try to pray to please the ear of the congregation. Who are we talking to anyways? The congregation? Are we talking to God? His prayer was not intended for men. Prayers that like this are not intended for people. And when you pray in a way that can reach the ears of God, the Bible says that we communicate to God with unknown tongues. He said we with groanings and with utterings that cannot be understood. Sometimes it's just a groan. Sometimes it's just an exasperation. Oh my. And if we can ever get to that place, then it'll move the heart of God. Sometimes we pray just to ease our own conscience or to give some sort of mental relief. Well, I did this and I did that. And, oh, I went here and I done that and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, I'm backslid as a goose and, you know, so now I need to pray. And so now you start praying and you start, you know, making all kind of excuses. You know, when a baby cries, he gets everybody's attention. And if it's a real cry, one of them ones that you know baby's hurt, everybody comes running. Because it's real. It can't be manufactured. But when that little kid starts walking around, Mommy, Mommy, I want this, I want that. That gets Dad's attention. That's a different kind of crying. That kind irritates God. That's right. That kind of spirit. Brother Bram says we're a bunch of spoiled brats. Direct quote. We're spoiled brats and we go, but Jesus, they said this about me. And Jesus, they said this about me. And they did that and they didn't shake my hand. And God says, good. You just stay that way. You go to your room. You're not going to move God that way. But when you can be broken and you can commune with God and begin to pray for that person and love that person that did you wrong and begin to move that person out of your hate closet, move it into the presence of God, then God will move on your behalf. He'll bless that person, bless you too. That's right. Poor man cried. Now, when he cried, it went to the ear of the Lord. Is that what it says? The Bible says, and the Lord heard him. I that's the kind of prayer I want. You know, the Bible talks about the prayers of saints, that it went up in the presence of God as an incense that those angels carried in there and into the presence of God. Oh, let me tell you, those kind of prayers, they didn't get there, by some spoiled brat whining about things. You know what Brother Bram said about complainers? He said complaining hinders faith. And if you don't have faith, you can't please God. And so you want to please God. The only way you can please God is when you pray, believe. For we have this confidence that if we ask, then God will hear. Oh my, think about this. All he could do was cry. I just got to thinking about this. He could do that. You know, there's sometimes, I had a brother one time say, said, we can't do everything at once. You can't do everything at once. He said, but you can do one thing at once. I thought, well, that's pretty good, you know, motivational type speaker. You know, I can't get everything done. I can't solve all the world's problems. I can't solve very many of my own. But I can do one thing. And that one thing is to get myself in a position to where God can hear, or that I can receive what God is wanting to give me. And the only way you can do that is through faith. And the only way you can have that kind of faith is to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Is that right? But you take the little fella and you can't teach him to cry. I raised a lot of dogs in my life. And I noticed there's a couple of things that I never had to take my dog to a Lamaze class. I never taught her how to breathe. I didn't have to tell her how to push or, you know, or anything. I just put her in a box and say, go to it, girl. You know, I'm here. I'm rooting for you. And she'd have a litter of pups. You know, at no time did I ever take that little dog and take her over here to the, you know, the WIC or La Leche League or whatever they say and teach her how to nurse in babies. I never taught her to teach her none of that stuff. They just done it. It just was a natural thing. Oh, let me tell you, friends, you don't have to teach a baby how to cry. And you don't have to teach a Christian how to call upon God. When a person gets desperate in their soul and they need to talk to their maker, you'll find a way to communicate with God. Brother Bram took a note and drove a nail through it and hung it on a tree and said, Lord, help me, please, sir. Oh, that got him further with God than all the oration and all the dictation and all the compiling of information and quotes and history and text and all these things that we think we have to do to talk to God. Most men in the church are terrified to come up here and pray in front of the people. Am I talking to you, brother? You're terrified to come pray. I have no problem praying. I have no problem praying for my family. I have no problem praying in front of other people. Why? Because I'm not talking to them. Right. Talking to God. Yeah. Talking to the Maker. Talking to my Master. Yeah. Oh my, if you can just turn away from what you're trying to impress people. Not here to impress people. You're here to get God to come on the scene. And that's why you're praying. Oh my, I'd rather have five words in faith. Is that what the Bible says? Amen. To have just a few words of understanding than a whole dialogue of unknown tongues. Many times we pray in such a way that people don't even know what you're praying about. Oh, I just say, Lord, help us today. My. Little kids, they don't have to explain what's wrong with them. Most of the time they can't anyways. They can barely say mama or daddy. But they're sick, they're hurting. You know, and you come in and go, well, what's wrong, honey? They can't talk. We're asking them what's wrong and they're like, mama. What? How's it gonna, well, mother, I'm having some digestive problems. Is that what we do? We expect Junior here who can't talk. What's the matter, honey? I think I've ate something wrong, or you did, one of the two. Huh? They're like, I have a gastrointestinal problem today, mother. Or, you know, my Depends or my Pampers are soiled. They're not going to explain their pain. They just hurt. They need you. And they don't try to explain it. They just cry. And they get full attention just by crying. Oh, friend, if we could just correlate. The Bible says, unless you come to me like one of these little children, you will never see the kingdom. Oh, my. Oh, we're going to describe the source. A little kid fall. Any of you been a little kid and fall down? Fall down on a gravel road, right on the asphalt, grinds all that gravel right into the palms of your hands and in your knees and on your face and your forehead. You're all messed up. Now he doesn't come and begin to explain the source of his injuries. I have these contusions and lacerations all over my body. I think I've received blunt force trauma to my head, mother. Can you please get some antibiotic ointment? Huh? He don't do that. He doesn't. Ah! You got the message. He didn't have to explain anything. If we could just be like that. Sometimes it's just, if you can, and this is truth. I know this is practical. This is probably not what you're expecting. This is all you're getting from me. But you'll go with me. You won't ever forget this. Did you ever notice silent cries are the most serious? You're going, ooh. He's going to bust any minute. You know that silent one is really hurt. And my mom always said, blowing my mouth. I couldn't figure out why she's doing that. You know, trying to get me to be. Because she was panicking. She was panicking. She was like, oh God, he's hurt. He's going to die. But sometimes when you can't say nothing, that's when you hurt the most. If you can just lay in the presence of God like that, just be in the presence. He knows, friends. Sometimes we just think we got to explain too much to God. It's like telling God what's broke when God made it. I'm going to explain to God how to fix all of my problems. Now, Father, I've had these manic depression, you know, and I'm in bipolar, and I have to take all these medications. And Lord, well, I have gout, and it's because of my diet, and I understand that, but I can't stay off the red meat. And I eat shellfish like it's going out of style. And my feet are killing me, but Lord, I need you to heal me. Why would you want to explain those things to God like that? That's a serious, I don't mean to be funny, but that's people's mentality. That's what people do. They think they got to explain to God how to fix them. My Bible said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows how to fix it. You can just humble yourself and just get before God and let, just say, here I am. I wish I had my picture. I got a picture on my computer of my grandson. Picture's worth 1,000 words. He's just standing there, he's going. Everybody knows what he needs. He wants mama to pick him up because he doesn't feel good. He's tired. He's dirty. He's been playing all day long because it's nighttime when the picture's took. I know exactly what was going on. I wasn't even there. What is it? It's just that there's certain ways. Brother Bam says it's our approach to God. Our approach to God. Oh, if we could just approach Him the right way. So many times we think that, you know, well, we got this quote and Brother Bam said this and this and this, and I'm going to take the right mental attitude toward every promise of God, and it's going to bring it to pass in my life, and I'm going to poke this down God's throat and He's going to make Him do it. Forget it, man. You don't come that way. That's for you. That's not for God. You read those things for you. But that's not something you throw back in God's face. That's something that He's presented to you so you can absorb this material. For He sent His word, and His word healed the people. But if you can get humble before God and read the Bible and pray and listen to the message of the hour, come to church and be fortified in the faith, oh my, and then just make your petitions known. I never had one of my children come to me and say, Father, I'm bleeding profusely, but I don't think I'm worthy enough for you to put a Band-Aid on me. They never told me that. They knew they were going to get whatever. They had a cut. They had a scrape. They were hurt. Man, we took them to the doctor. We got stitches put in them. We did whatever it took. It wasn't a matter of, are you worthy? So many times we think, well, I'm just not worthy because I made this mistake and that mistake. Oh, my. You think God cares about those things? You lay your petitions before God. You repent of your sins. Call upon the name of the Lord. And in that hour, you'll be heard. Oh, my. I find we're many people, they won't approach God because they're being condemned by themselves. They don't even need the devil to condemn them. But, oh, friend, if you'll just become, the Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. If you really, and I don't mean like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, and go do it again. No, I mean, if you have godly sorrowness, you'll be like David. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Oh, cast not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh my, he got in a place where God, amen, could hear his prayers. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a contrite and broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Crying has much meaning. Did you ever notice you can't put cries to music? There's no key. It's not music. It grates the ear. It rasps the heart. It startles. It grieves the minds of those who hear it. I had a baby, our first baby. We found out later it was a misalignment in her spine, but it was causing a lot of pain, and she wouldn't get no sleep. And she went to sleep just a few minutes, just an hour at the most, and then up again, and all through the night. And poor wife was wore out, and I was working hard back those days, and you know, just the little fellow was killing us. But she ruled the roost. She was in charge. And you know, a crying baby will reduce a dad to a blubbering idiot. It's the truth. You ever see a dad, well, that kid ought to shut up. He won't do that. No, sir, that big burly man walking around. You can't help it. You're doing anything. Try to shut that kid up. It's the truth. It rasps the mind. It captivates everybody. Nobody can take a screaming kid. You ever been on a long flight overseas? And you got that little kid, his little ears won't pop. Cry for 14 hours straight. You'll buy noise cancelers, I'll guarantee it. Shell out $300 just like that. I mean, no problem. Because it grates your spirit. It hurts. Hey, it ain't even my kid, and I want to go help him. I feel sorry for a little. I know what he's going through. You know, you get your ears won't pop, and you're just that sick feeling that's in it. And you wish there was something you could do with the little guy. But you know there's nothing you can do with it. Mama can't even make him happy. Gets to a place that even the church can't make you happy. Come to church, sit in the presence of God, you come to the altar, you do whatever, you hear the preaching, the singing, you worship, you put your hands in the air, you do whatever you can, but sometimes it just don't work. It doesn't help. You're just beyond all that. And you say, well, what do we do? Oh, friend, that's why Jesus said, what you do in your closet. Maybe it's not a closet. Maybe it's a stump. Maybe it's an old cactus somewhere. But you'll go find some place to get a hold of God. I was looking in the Bible. It was interesting to me that some of the most powerful prayers that got the most response from the Lord were just 2 and 3 words. Think about it. Here's a man who's dying. He's dying. The Lord Jesus is hanging next to him, and he's almost dead. They're both bleeding out. Jesus has been beat beyond human recognition. They're both hanging on the cross. And one little prayer, Lord, remember me. Move that man from the pits of hell to the paradise of God. One little 3-word prayer. Lord, remember me. Sometimes I think if we could just get desperate enough, if we could just realize the seriousness of our condition, if we knew how close many times that we were to the abyss, if we knew how far we had slid away from God, I think our prayers would change overnight. They would change in a moment. We would begin to say, Lord, remember me. The disciples, there they were, the boat was filling up with water. They was about to sink. They said, Lord, help us. We perish. That was a long, drawn-out prayer. But what did it do? Brother Bram said they went and woke Jesus. I think some of our prayers, they won't wake Jesus. But if we could ever, with the true sincerity that these men had, they woke Jesus. They said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? It brought Jesus. He said, oh. And he stopped the wind and the rain. A blind man. Jesus was passing by. He was a blind man. He needed God. He had faith, but he what did he say? He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, I think that would be a prayer that we could all learn it. Just a couple of seconds. Lord, have mercy on me. Repeat that after me. You can learn it, but it's not something that's learned intellectually. It has to be something that's uttered from the soul. Prayers that come from the lips. Prayers that come from the head. Prayers that come from our intellect. Friends, they won't get you nowhere with God. But when you can pray from the innermost part of your being and let God know that from your heart that you need Him, Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord, remember me. Lord, help me. Oh my. Brief ones. Brief prayers. But this is the part I like. When they're attended with tears. When it's like when that kid is just a bunch of noise, you're watching him saying, I think he's faking. But when he's got snot running out of his nose and tears are running down his face and drool running out of his mouth and he's screaming at the top of his lungs, that you can't fake that. That's real. And if that can be that way, and we would respond in such a way being, the Bible says, sinful. If we, being sinful people, would give our children and would respond to them in such compassion, we would do anything to help that child. Because we love them. Because we filial. With just a filial. How much more would agape, that if we could come to Him, oh my, broken before God, and true repentance, true desperation, true brokenness before God. But I think many times it's because we don't really realize how serious our condition is. Because we haven't taken time to do any kind of spiritual inventory. And we're just, you know, on the treadmills of life, running our cell phones and our devices at 100 clicks a minute. And we think that we're going to, if you really understood how desperate your situation is, I think our tone. I actually wrote it down here. I was thinking about it, that, you know, desperation is measured in decibels. You know, that when that kid is really, really needing something from God, you know, the volume begins to rise. But Brother Ram told a story about a little baby that didn't stop crying. It had cried its whole life until it didn't even sound human anymore. He said, what would we do for that baby? He said, but that mother came in there and said, Brother Branham, if you'll just lay your hands on him, our baby will be well. What, they didn't come in there with some, you know, some fantastics. They just came with this of faith. They just be merciful. They brought their condition of the child. Oh my. Then it comes down, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I think that's the greatest part of it all. But the Bible says not only did he hear him, but he delivered him out of all of his troubles. When the Lord hears a prayer, he doesn't turn a deaf ear to it. He doesn't ignore his children. The Bible says he hears the cries of the righteous. Now you say, well, I don't feel righteous. But if we understood that when we pray in the name of Jesus, then he doesn't even hear your voice. Brother Bram said he only hears the voice of the Son of God. He hears Jesus' voice. Oh my, think about it, friends. If he would only hear Jesus' voice, when Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he cry such a cry as that? Because he was forsaken. You say, why was he forsaken? Because he had to bear the full penalty of sin. He was the only one of God's family that was ever truly forsaken. But he was forsaken, why? For your sake. He bore the crown of thorns. Why? Because the earth was cursed. And it brought forth thorns and thistles. So Adam's curse was planted upon his head. Adam could have reached in and grabbed the tree of life and lived forever. But the Bible says that a seraphim was placed there. But Jesus, who was the tree of life, his hands were pierced and nailed to a cross, that he would bear the full penalty of sin. That he would make access as the bleeding lamb, so that when John was there in the Isle of Patmos and caught up into the vision, and the Bible says that there was no man found worthy, and John wept much, the Bible says, that brought God on the scene, and the angel touched him and said, don't weep no more, John. Oh, what would it do? Those tears, they brought the white wigged one on the scene. They brought the bleeding lamb on the scene. Oh, that bleeding lamb come to reveal to John that his name was on the book. Oh, if we could just cry to God. This poor man cried. And when he cried, hey man, what did it do? But it brought Christ Jesus on the scene. Answered all the questions. Hallelujah. Jesus bore in himself. Adam was given anesthetic and a bride was brought forth from him. Jesus brought it forth with the full penalty of blood and water. He suffered until his blood and his water separated. There's a medical term for that. It's a trauma. Oh my, he cried. Oh, so that when, and he was forsaken, but was so that when you would cry, that your cries could never be forsaken. He became the very curse and penalty of sin. Oh my, and so that the cry of the righteous would always be heard. Because it's not your righteousness that's going before God. It's the righteous one, amen, that is carrying your petition to God. And when he cried, God heard it. And the earth shook, hallelujah. And the sun quit shining. And the rocks broke and the graves come open when this poor man cried. Oh, hallelujah. When he cried, all heaven silenced themselves. Oh, the heart of God was breaking because he couldn't soothe the torn brow of his only begotten son. He couldn't pull him forth from the cross. He had to bear the full penalty of death and hell. He couldn't take him. He couldn't comfort him. Oh, Jesus suffered like no man could suffer. Oh, hallelujah. He was torn like no man was ever torn. Why? Because he was more than a man. He was a God-man. And when he cried, all the earth trembled in nervous prostrations. Brother Bram said, oh my. But what was it? He cried so that when you cry, God will always hear it. He'll always hear it because he knows the pain. He knows what a child goes through. He knows what a man feels. And so now then, because he suffered, when you come with some manufactured alligator tears, that won't move nothing. But when you can pray, when you can call upon God, amen, through the name of Jesus Christ. Brother, I said, when the word of God is spoken in the name of Jesus Christ, it's the same as if he spoke it himself. When the Holy Ghost moves on you, Brother Brown said it's the same as if deity himself had spoken it. So when Jesus stood at the gate, at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Lord, the Bible says, and Jesus wept. Why? Because he was in his humanity. Because he was feeling what they were feeling. But he said, I say these things, Lord. He said, not because for them to hear. Or not because, not for you to hear, but for their sakes I say these things. So he was just expressing, but he said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, I didn't need to say these things. He said, because I know that you always hear me. He always heard. He said, I always do that which pleases the Father. He will deliver me out of the hand of the fowler. He would do all these kind of things. He had all these scriptural promises that showed how he would be delivered until that one day. And then God didn't deliver him. God forsook him. And he cried. And he had to cry until the earth shook. Until everything, till the full penalty, until he bruised the serpent's head with his heel. And then, and only then, could the righteousness of God, because he was called Jehovah sicken you, that the Lord our righteousness. Is that right? But if we read on in the same book of Jeremiah, just a few chapters later, it says, and her name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Amen. That his righteousness would be transferred onto her. That she would be the very representative. That she would be the incarnate righteousness of God. Oh my. And that when she would pray, you know, there's very few things that'll move a man's heart. But when he sees the tears of his wife, he'll bankrupt himself to make sure that she's taken care of. He'll do whatever it takes. Why? Because that's the love of his heart. Those tears, the old song says that tears are a language that only God understands. And so when God's bride begins to cry out, how long, O Lord? When she begins to cry out, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, Lord. Oh, look around us. Look at this. Look at the abominations that are done in the city. The Bible says there is sighing and crying. Oh, do you think that won't move God? If we can really find that vein, that zone, that atmosphere. Brother Bram said, atmosphere is everything. Oh my, here a while back I was at a hospital. And there was a little Native American girl, and she was a Navajo girl, and she was there, and she hadn't talked to us. We were there for another situation altogether. And she was talking on the phone. She got off the phone. She went over by the window. She turned her back from the rest of us. We were in the waiting room. And as soon as I saw her, I could see that she was weeping uncontrollably. I could just see her back. She was just shaking under the emotion. It changed the atmosphere. You never heard a word. Never heard a sigh. Never a peep. Nothing come out of her. Just her emotion. It changed the atmosphere. I couldn't leave her like that. I mean, it was just, she was alone. And so I just postured myself so when she come by, I could stop her. I just told her, she was telling me that I think it was her grandfather was passing away. And it was a serious time for her. He's suffering and they didn't give him till morning to live. And my, she was just so broken. I told her I'd pray for her. A little later, her daughter came through, and I seen them, two of them talking, so I knew it was her daughter. And so I asked her, how's her mom was doing and everything. And I ended up getting to pray with them, But it just, if that would do that to me, just a man, to see somebody broken, that would change the atmosphere. And then it would move just my human heart to compassion and empathy. Oh, the Bible says that He is the sympathizing Jesus. The old song says. The song says He's the sympathizing Jesus. Oh, I think, friends, that, if we could just maybe stand this evening, reach over and maybe take one of your loved ones by the hand. And it might not have been the evangelistic sermon you were wanting, but it's the one the Lord put on my heart. But maybe that one near you there has got a need. And, you could maybe be, Brother Bam said, that little boy, he said he was crying, he was terrified. Says, Mama come running, said, what's the matter, boy? Said, oh, Mama, that lightning scares me so bad. He said, well, don't worry. Jesus is here and Jesus is with you. He said, yeah, but Mama, I need Jesus with some skin on it. So maybe you need to be that one near you. Maybe you would be that one's Jesus with skin on him. And you could, maybe you know their need. Maybe you don't know anything about them. Maybe, but you know they got a need. And so it's better many times if we can consider the other person. Is that right? It's better, sometimes if you consider the other person and pray for their need with all of your heart, then I believe that many times God will hear our prayers. Here this evening, Lord Jesus, we could say, help us. We could say, O Son of David, have mercy upon us. Have mercy, Lord. These ones near us are afflicted, Lord. They're going through a trial. Maybe it's a secret trial that only they know about. Hear us, O Lord. Hear from heaven. Hear the cries of your children. Lord, we're reaching out to you, Lord. God, help us. Oh, save. Oh, heal. Oh, deliver. Be merciful, Lord Jesus. Be kind to us, O God. We need you every hour. Stay thou nearby. While on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. Oh, fount of all my comfort. Lord, we call upon your name tonight, Lord. Lord, we're your children, Lord, and we need you. Oh, God, if you don't help us, then we'll perish. Do you not care that we perish, oh, Lord? We come to wake Jesus tonight. We come to call upon your name, Lord, because we know you hear the cries of the righteous, Lord. Father, we humiliate ourselves, Lord, and Father, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, for we are undone. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, God. Lord, we know that you're a man, Lord, that is under authority. If you'll speak the word, Lord, then Lord, these that we're praying for, they'll be healed. Their needs will be met, Lord. Lord, we're like Moses tonight, Lord. We're crying to you, but we hear the Spirit, Lord, to say, speak. Just speak and go forward. But Lord, there had to come some crying first. There had to come a place of desperation. Lord, we need you tonight. We need you, Lord. I need you right now. I need you right now, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord, we pray. We need you right now. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, we know that you hear because you hear the voice of your Son, Lord. So we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, and the things that we have need of, oh, God. Lord, we know the answer's on the way. Lord, we're here to receive, Lord. We're the benefactors, Lord. We're not coming in our worthiness, Lord. We're not coming, Lord, as Lord and deserving, Lord. We don't deserve anything, Lord, but we know that you love us. And that you gave yourself for us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord as our musicians come this evening. Lord, I need you right now. Amen. Maybe I might help me, Brother Kenny, if I hit the right. Yeah. I need you right now. Oh, Lord. I need you right now. Oh, I put all of my faith in your keeping somehow. you right now. Oh, yes, I do, Lord. I need you right now. I put all of my life in your keeping somehow. Oh Lord, I need you right now. Amen. You need prayer this evening? I'd be glad to pray for you, with you. Turn the service, soul leader. Benediction, you'll sing some songs. Water the seeds that have been sown. Amen. And we love you all. We appreciate you. Pray that the Lord said something along the way that helped you. We really want you to get closer to God. Our whole goal, ambition, our whole life is wrapped up in this gospel. Sometimes you just have to take a little simple analogy and just wear it out. You know, and get it nailed down, clinch it over. Amen. Sometimes we just get too religious. You know, we just get too religious. But if we could ever get to a place where, you know, we could get sincere. Brother Ben said that the very thing that would stop that mama was sincerity. He said, you got to be more sincere. And oh, I know that sometimes little analogies, they may make you laugh or whatever. I don't really mean to do that. I just the way I am sometimes. But I don't mean to do that. If I got too silly, why, you forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. But I want you to get it. Because the next time I see you, you may have learned a great lesson. That great lesson may have saved your life or saved the life of one around you. And that's all that matters. It may get you to a place where you get victory over your complexes or your sins or your troubles. You know, I want a message that works, friends. I want something that works in my life. I don't want to play church. I'm not here to play church. I want the genuine article, the true bona fides. Amen. I want the real package. Amen. That'll change my life and make me a real Christian. That's what I want. I want that for you. I want that for us all. Amen. As we sing that one more time and then we'll turn it over. Oh Lord, I need you right now. Oh, we'll pray for you, friends. Whatever your need might be. Oh, I need you right now.
I would all of my life in your keeping. So proud.